This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. After the top five at five, some news about Jason Kelce's condition at the Super Bowl.
Travis Kelce. Huh?
Travis Kelce.
I was about to say, what?
Sorry. Oh, what's the
Jason
difference?
Jason Kelce was probably just had a couple beers.
No.
That's when you say condition, that's what
sorry,
I thought about.
Sorry, Travis Kelce's condition. Travis Kelce's condition. Travis, the other Kelce. But before that, everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
So Elliot right now is fighting for his life in text messages on the airplane.
Paul George thing.
About the Paul George thing.
Yeah.
Now he has spotty Wi-Fi, so he cannot bring up the tweet, and he cannot defend himself that well.
There's no way to defend himself.
Oh, you've been in contact with him?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because I had to. You know, I had to send him the tweet, and he's like, Paul George is not my number one priority. I was a Brandon Ingram guy.
He backed off Brandon Ingram. By the way, he asked me off air. He was like, Brandon Ingram. I'm like, dude, first of all, they're not going to trade for Brandon Ingram. Second of all, he's not it. But I don't even think Brandon Ingram's played this year, by the way.
He's a Raptor, too.
Yeah.
And I said, you can't say any of that after the tweet that you put out.
Yes.
And he said, I absolutely can.
No.
Yeah, he can't.
No. Nope.
He's done. He loses the Paul George
argument. And if he was a Brandon Ingram guy, Brandon Ingram only had a year left on and didn't even play this year.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Now, we'll bring him in tomorrow.
Okay.
After my lotta.
Yeah. Eviscerate that tiny dancer. That's what I want you
tiny
to play.
Tiny dancer.
When he comes in, I want Elton John's Tiny Dancer every time.
That's a great Elton John song.
Yes, it is.
What's your go-to Elton John song?
Daniel.
I'm a Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's guy.
Yeah, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. You one of those guys?
Yeah. Philadelphia Freedom.
You're an Elton John guy? Goodbye Yellow Brick Road? Maybe that
he
one?
He has to have a popular one or two that I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Candle in the Wind?
Candle in the Wind.
Oh, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man?
There you go. Sounds like a new top five.
Yeah.
Anyway, the top five best Elliot Shore Parks arguments,
right,
of which he has many. And the one that what made me think of this is him yesterday saying the pushing actually doesn't matter on the tush push.
Right.
Which is not in his, pantheon of great takes.
But it should be.
But it shows the kind of take ship that he usually has here. So number five.
It's called the tush push.
Yes. Number five is that Queen Elizabeth is the most famous person in the world. Most famous person of all time.
Of all time.
Ahead of Jesus.
Yes.
Ahead of, vaults to the top is Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I've actually argued with him about this more off air than anything I've ever argued with him about. And I said, Elliot, let me ask you this. If you just took a photo of Queen Elizabeth and a photo of Taylor Swift out onto the street, and I'm just talking about Taylor Swift, who probably isn't the most famous person of all time, and you ask people who is who, how many people would identify Taylor Swift or the Queen? And he goes, well, that doesn't matter. And I said, Elliot, that's what famous means.
Yeah, what does he think
famous
is?
Do we even think Elliot could identify Queen Elizabeth in a lineup of 10 old ladies?
I know.
Do we think he could?
Also, I just want to know how he came up with that. He's sitting there in Europe because he went there to see the Spice Girls.
That's what it was.
And he's like, you know what? Queen Elizabeth, actually the most famous person of all time.
Yeah, it is.
That's definitely what it was because he went to England, right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
My fourth favorite Elliott Shore Park's argument is that the Eagles need a dome.
It's the worst.
That is the worst.
It's the worst. No one agrees with them, besides maybe Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, we did ask Jeffrey that at the Super Bowl.
He did. Because he wanted more ammunition.
Yeah.
And then he took this half-hearted like answer from Jeffrey Lurie, and he goes, there it is. That means the Eagles are getting a dome.
And said off the air to me, that was the quote of the night, right? Like, you know, he was so proud of his little question.
Well, I saw Elliott talking about Jeffrey Lurie's answer, and I was like, wow, that's amazing, Lurie. And then I went and I listened to the answer, and I said, Elliott, he doesn't concede to this at all. And Elliott says, it can't be a retractable dome for good weather.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
It cannot be a retractable dome, even if it's nice out. You know, if it's an October game where it's 52 degrees, 48 degrees, nice out, nah.
Can you imagine the level of complaining as a fan base we would do if they put a dome in this city?
I actually think we'd give back one of the Super Bowls to make sure that we never got a dome in Philadelphia.
I do agree with his point that once it was there, we would probably all like it. But nobody would like it beforehand.
Nobody would like that idea. These fans want to be outside watching football.
It makes us tougher.
Yes. And this isn't Florida.
Dude, the snow game this year is all time.
Imagine you're going to rob fans of that snow. That playoff game was beautiful.
It added to the aura around the game.
I think the only, aside from when I was in college and going to see games at the Carrier Dome, the only professional dome game I was ever at was the Super Bowl in 2018. And I was
in Minnesota,
and I was struck about how much it sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, dome
being
sock.
Inside. It's like you're watching a football game in a mall. Well, in there.
A dome out there.
Yes. That was cold like I've never felt before. Yes. I lived in Chicago, but the cold
hurt in Minneapolis. Yeah, man.
So I thought it was going to ruin. My friend Amos is a singer, and I was with him at the game, and we were going to, take an Uber to dinner afterwards, not realizing to get an Uber outside the Super Bowl might be hard. So we had a walk.
That really is dumb.
Yes. We had a walk maybe 15 minutes. He's a singer and has asthma.
Oh my God!
I said this is the end of his career.
Yeah,
this is the end of his career.
They literally were advising people not to be outside that long.
And some of the some of the city you can walk through. We walked through the tunnels,
like the tunnel thing. Yeah,
I thought it was the end. I thought it was the end of Amos. I was like, oh man, his career is done. Woo. Walking to dinner.
Yeah,
that was brutal cold.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, no domes. Yeah, stop it.
But by the way, it doesn't really get that cold here. I mean,
no, exactly.
Here, no.
No.
This winter, this has been the first winter in years where it's gotten really, really cold for an extended period of time.
My oil company is all over that. My third favorite Elliott Shore Park's argument is he could luck into a home run in Major League Baseball. Now, this is an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
The infamous now tweet that baseball Twitter does bring up a lot.
Yes.
Because they get very snarky about that tweet, is that Elliott Shore Park's said that he could rush for a touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah.
He could score a basket in the NBA, and he could luck.
We know that couldn't happen.
No,
and he could luck into a home run, but he could never score a goal in hockey.
And
what the hardest of all those is the damn home run, right? Yeah.
If you played him 25 minutes a game for 82 games a year, they would leave him open.
Yeah, he'll eventually score.
He would make a shot.
Yeah.
I assume if Kenny Pickett can get ragdolled into the end zone, I guess Elliott could get a yard.
Get those pushed in there.
And he is taking boxing classes now.
Yes. Yeah. You could give Elliott a million swings and he would never luck
never
into a home run.
Ball over the wall.
In a major league game against a major league pitcher?
The other thing. Against a major league pitcher? He wouldn't even be able to stand in the batter's box.
He couldn't even hit Jack when we went out to South Florida.
I'm not even good anymore.
Yes. You're washed.
I know.
You're cooked like Paul George.
11-year-old nephew said so too.
Oh, yeah. No, he said, hey, thank you so much for the advice. that was the problem. I'm not a good teacher though. I'm a me guy.
Right.
Yeah. All right. My second favorite Elliott argument is that players should be able to bet on themselves. I mean,
that's a classic.
That's
too.
Number two.
Yeah, it's number two.
I was one worse than that.
Didn't you say refs should be able to bet too? When I put that to him.
I think he dug a hole.
Yeah, sure,
refs, they can bet too.
He has no leg to stand on players betting on their own game.
It is probably the worst take of all.
I don't know how it's not number one. I can't even think of which one is one, but that the fact that he wants players to be allowed to bet on sports that they can have an impact on the outcome of the games.
Well, and his point is they wouldn't because of all the money they're making, and then there's just instances of it happening. It did happen. Yeah.
Yes, it's happening.
Michael Porter Jr.'s brother was like texting people that he was going to miss all his shots in the second half. Yeah.
And I want to know where I was in that group chat.
Yes, yeah.
Who's the one guy who played for the Raptors?
That was him.
Oh, that was John Tate Porter.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's John Tate Porter. Yep.
Unbelievable. But number one, I think still, because it's my favorite, but it's training camp stats mattering. I mean, him sitting there charting it, him on his victory lap this year with the 67 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, the putting the Wilt number out there with Jalen on it for the most consecutive passes without an interception. I mean, it's a masterclass.
Yeah, that was a little much. I still would have the gambling at one over it.
I would, because there's part of me that does think the training camp stats, they're not the be-all, end-all, but I do think it's interesting.
He's convinced us.
Yeah.
I actually look forward to him.
But him saying that Jalen's performance this year is proof of it.
Right, that's where he... Yeah.
When after 4 weeks he was turning the ball over so much, they changed the offense. That part of it, I can't... And he doesn't back down on anything.
No,
he goes with the completion percentage.
Yep.
I guess he threw the fewest amount of interceptions of his career.
Yes.
This year,
yes,
so he thinks that's a indicator.
But he also threw the fewest number of passes.
Yes. Don't let the details get in the way.
He does have a lot of those, man.
Yeah.
He does. Well, you know what? We had our planning meeting today. We didn't talk about Elliot.
Elliot week?
Elliot week. We were going to have Elliot week this summer, where we have Elliot in every day to battle on one. Maybe we use these arguments.
Yeah.
Maybe and have people battle Elliot on one of his ridiculous takes.
Yeah.
Because the summer.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to build in Elliot week.
We'll build. And at the end, the kicker was we're going to have a psychiatrist listen to the entire week and then give us an evaluation at the end of it as to trying to figure out more about him.
Maybe it's how we launch Eagle season. Maybe we do it in August during the preseason.
Yeah, I like it.
And that's when we do Elliot week.
Because that is Elliot season.
That is Elliot season. And then after, once the opening kickoff happens, then he's useless.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, how about... I mean, that week after the last preseason game.
That could be it.
For the first game.
That could be Elliot week.
But the problem is, before the first game? Okay, the week. Yeah, not the game week.
Yeah.
Not the game week. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about for Radiothon, for Eagles Autism Challenge, like what items we could have as a station. Maybe just punch Elliot in the stomach.
A permanent dunk tank?
Punching Elliot.
Yeah. Or maybe his autograph, he could autograph his tiny shoes for someone. Mm. Auction off his tiny shoes.
I want to see him in his boxing class, see what he looks like.
Go to boxing class with Elliot?
Yeah. I want to see what that looks like.
We said, weren't we going to send Tucker to videotape Elliot?
We sent Buzz all the way up to New York.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
We can send Tucker to the boxing class.
Tucker and Morgenstein, get over there.
Get over there. This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through February. Get 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Yoshin Brewery Town, you are on WIP.
My man Spike, Big Ike, Jackie baby, happy Wednesday.
Oh, listen to you. You using the phone like normal. It sounds so good.
Hey, man, I said, you know what? I'm going to just start calling a little bit later. I'm going to get in the house because I mean, y'all got a brother feeling good, man. It's like when my wife happy with me, you know. you know what I'm talking about. When your wife happy with you, man, you know, can't nothing go wrong.
It's been a while for me.
I was gonna say I'm not familiar with that feeling.
Man, you got the blue shoes. Why it's been a while for you? You got the blue shoes. Come on now.
That hammer is real, for real.
Come on, man. Come on, Nick Saban said. Nick Saban had said I had a whatever. Come on, man. Get it right. Oh, man. Hey, man. What's the name?
It's a fair point. That's a fair point by you. I got to get it right.
I'm telling you, boy. What's the name? You better take two. Come on now. Get it right. Hey, Spike, that tiny shoe, tiny toe thing, boy, you got me dying with that. Like, all I see is the little doll baby on that stuff, man. Like, I am in here cracking up, man. I really think Elliot be trolling y'all, man, especially you, Spike. Let me say this to touch a nerve. Because it just be like, yo, where did he come? And then Spike just go off on. I'm like, yo, he is trolling him, man. Yeah,
drives everybody crazy, man.
Yeah.
Drives everybody crazy, man. And, yo, real quick, man, let me get this out. As a proud member of the delegation, I'm so proud of you, man. Ain't nobody came at your neck in months.
What happened?
I'm sitting here. You have been naming rap songs when you hear them.
Yeah.
Rappers. When you got the house party, what's name line right the other day when Corey hit it?
Yeah.
I was like, listen at my boy.
Yeah. I had to go redeem myself, Yosh. I had to redeem myself, man. I did.
Do the blue shoes help with memory? You've been killing everything is in focus. Uh-huh.
Sang Al Green today. Come on now.
Hey, now, one thing you did get wrong today, though, and this ain't with the delegation.
What?
Brandon Graham got a son and a daughter, not two daughters.
Did I say two daughters?
He had a little boy. Yeah, you said what's in heaven? Wife, dad, two daughters? I was like, uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. That was a slip of the tongue, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But ain't nobody mad at you about that. I ain't want you first name C. Brandon and be like, How your little girl's doing?
No, because I met his kids 1,000 times. I can't even believe I said that. Yeah, I didn't even realize I said that.
I don't want you to mess up on that.
Yep.
And Spike, man, you had me with that argument. I was like, man, what's next? Heck yeah, he white. That boy white, man. I was about to say, pull over, Ike, let me get out the car. I was about to get in the front seat, but then Ike came down in true Big Ike Eagles form, swept down and killed it. And I said, that's why I'm riding shotgun with my big homie. That makes more sense. It's a great argument, Spike.
You're talking about the argument at the beginning of the show about getting a star. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the beginning of the show, man. That was excellent, man. It was excellent. And then I said you make a good argument. I was ready to get in the car with you, but damn.
Yeah, he almost changed my mind before I even got to say something.
That was the first time Ike was like, Ike looked like I stunned him a little bit with a hook or a straight jab. And he was like, all right, I got to get myself together before I get back in the middle of the ring.
So, you know, it's a great argument. You got me looking at your car. Wondering if the heated seat's working and everything. But I'm still riding shotgun with Ike. I'm still over there with you, Ike. Great argument, though, babe. Hey, man, Hey, and shout out to Jalen Hurts. He's not only an elite quarterback, but he's an elite citizen also. And I love it. Winners just keep on winning.
He was named Citizen of the Year in Philadelphia last night.
Yeah, he got from a charity organization for the air conditioners.
Okay.
All the accolades.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Hey, I had to put you on, baby. I had to put you on. You remember a lot of other stuff, though.
Appreciate
it. That don't count. You're still winning. Hey, man, I love y'all cats. Happy Wednesday. We still the Super Bowl champs, baby.
There you go. Two times.
Go Birds.
All right, Yosh.
Yo, how much better are Yoshi's calls with him on the phone rather than the speakerphone?
I can't believe we've been dealing with it for like 4 or 5 years
and
now.
He's a great caller always, but when you can't hear half of what he's saying, you know, now
got him right.
He's excellent. Yeah. I love it.
And he said he waits till he gets home to make sure he calls from the phone. Yeah.
I love
there
it. So I mentioned Travis Kelce being sick. I said Jason Kelce, actually, but I meant Travis. This is per Brett Veach of the NFL Insiders podcast. Travis Kelce was battling, quote, a pretty big illness before the Super Bowl, according to the Kansas City Chiefs general manager. We're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but I mean, yeah, he was battling with a big illness before the Super Bowl. So
wasn't half our team sick?
Well, they were all week. And you know who's famous for this is actually Joel Embiid. They go, hey, I'm not making any excuses, and then they give literally what is an excuse.
Yeah.
So I understand it. Sometimes you're hurt, sometimes you're sick, whatever. Was he battling an illness all season? I mean, he had a bad season too.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Called getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe his focus, maybe he should take a lesson from Podcast P.
Drop the pod?
A little too much Swifty?
Well, he's making...
Well, what, and the New Heights
pod.
Podcast.
The pod.
And the, oh, yeah, and the podcast.
Yeah, you know, he's...
Forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, like
spends more time with that than he does Taylor. Taylor's only in town.
Yeah, she's touring.
She's back out of town, yeah.
Like, think about it this way. Paul George put the team first.
Yes.
By putting the podcast away.
Yes.
Yeah, he only waited to the end of the season.
Yeah, 20 and 37, yes.
So, and the best part about Paul George focusing on the team and his health is that I would bet in the next 7 days that Paul George is dealing with an injury and not playing, and that he doesn't play the rest of the year. Because they are going to... The Embiid thing was the signal,
right.
They got to shut it down.
Yeah.
So he's going to stop playing, and I would guess at some point, they can't do it right away because Maxie's young and pretty healthy,
yeah.
But I would bet every other game, maybe we see Maxie questionable with a hamstring and he doesn't play,
yeah.
And then the last week and a half, we probably don't see Maxie. We definitely, the last game of the year against the Bulls, we're not seeing Maxie, but that maybe Paul George doesn't want to be podcasting during his fake injury, too.
Ah, so it's like preemptive. He's just getting ahead of it.
Well, and...
It's a couple times you done made a lot of sense today, man.
Well, also, can you imagine what they post clips to it all the time? Can you imagine what the responses to the clips are?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Right now?
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, you're right.
Because they suck, you know? Podcast.
Yeah, he's probably starting to realize that people like, man, get off this damn podcast.
Yes.
Well, especially if it comes out that they're shutting him down, and then he's recording podcasts on top of that.
Yes.
That's a tough optic.
Yeah, bad luck.
Maybe for a little pinky injury.
Maybe the Sixers had to shut him down. Maybe they had to sit him down and go, hey, look.
Hold on, this is a finger injury?
Yeah, but...
I thought it was Maxie who had the finger.
No, it's Paul George. Remember, I think I mentioned it. When he first had the injury, they didn't say what it was. And for the podcast, we got an email from a hand doctor. And he said, he explained what he has. And he said, with that injury, if you don't put a splint on it for 6 to 8 weeks and never, ever take the splint off, the finger will heal bent or something.
That's why you see a lot of football players whose fingers are like that.
Yes.
Baldy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I forget what he said the name of it was, but I think he has to keep. Yeah. So he's been playing with the splint on the left hand.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the reason is before the pinky injury for his.
Right? He was really trying to channel his inner Kobe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, play through it.
Yeah,
remember
real warrior.
Yeah, Shams reported he was getting injections all the time so he could play through it.
Yeah,
or his pinky.
Well, yeah, I guess the knee too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm like, damn, what is going on with this pinky?
Well, what it is, I think it's
is
when
it broken, dislocated,
the tendons rip away from the bone or something. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
It's a basketball injury. I know what that is. Yeah,
it sounds horrible.
Used to get stretched. I'm not saying it's a basketball injury like it doesn't bother you. I'm saying it's one of those injuries you usually get in basketball.
When I was in high school, I'll never forget, we were playing pickup basketball. This kid, Jay Siervo, we're playing with him, and he would never talk. He was a quiet guy. He's playing, and we keep playing the game, and he's like telling us to stop, but very quietly. And he holds his finger up, and his finger was dislocated and all mangled.
I've had that.
It scared me for 5 years playing basketball that my finger was going to get dislocated.
Oh, yeah. I had that a couple of times. Yeah, this finger was pointing that way.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pointing like that.
Awful.
Gross.
Got caught in a jersey, or either got caught in a jersey or a helmet or something. And you look at it, and you're like, because it looks deformed.
Yeah.
And somebody has to pop that thing, has to pop it back in.
Last gross basketball injury. It was the Final Four where it was Syracuse, Temple, UMass, Arkansas. I was in college.
Temple was in the Final Four?
Not Temple. Syracuse, UMass, Arkansas.
Duke.
No, Kansas. No, Kentucky. It was Kentucky.
Kentucky? Okay.
It was Kentucky because it was when.
That's 90s, yeah.
Yeah, it was Syracuse with John Wallace and Otis Hill, those guys. So we went to the Final Four. We drove down from Syracuse, and my friend Nick had family in Connecticut, so we stayed with them. The 12-year-old son had a 7-foot hoop, jumped up to dunk it. The net got caught in his teeth, and it ripped part of his jaw away from his...
How the hell did that happen?
He went up, and his teeth got caught in the net.
Bro, I've been playing basketball all my life, and my teeth ain't never been caught in the net.
Well, that might have something to do with your vertical.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well. It was a 7-foot rim.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the hell?
Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. All right. Coming up next, we do have some supporters in the Tush Push mission across the NFL, non-Eagles employees.
Yeah.
We will hear from those coaches next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.